The Holy Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Recently, I went into a local store to purchase a few items. When I arrived at the cash register, the man there proved to be somewhat chatty. Not many people in the store that day. He had retired some time ago, but considering his current financial situation, he needed to return to the workforce. So during the course of our conversation, he somewhat naturally asked me if I was retired. I don't know why he would ask me that question. I was not wearing my clerical collar at the time, and so I explained that I was a Lutheran pastor. His response was something like, "Are you one of those liberal pastors?" As we talked, I surmised that he was not asking so much because he wanted to know anything at all about me, which was fine by me. My life isn't that interesting. Although he didn't really come out and say it, I think what he wanted to know was whether I would challenge any of his beliefs or values or opinions. Was I a threat to his self-identity and understanding of God? His political views, perhaps? Would I upset in any way the status quo of his little kingdom? At a very basic level, I think he wanted to know, are you for me or are you against me? It is a question we all live with and perhaps try to answer with every new encounter. Such a question is at the core of Pilate's encounter with Jesus in today's gospel reading. Are you the King of the Jews? He asks. What he really wants to know is if Jesus is a threat to his identity, his power, his rule in the kingdom. Behind that question lies his more immediate concern. Wanting to know what he has done really is a question about, have you done something to upset the status quo I seek to maintain? Are you breaking the Roman laws that I am here to enforce? Are you a threat to my authority to maintain civic order? Pilate was in a quandary as he interviewed Jesus. The strength, the safety, the blessing of the Roman world depends on laws and rules and allegiance up the chain of command to the one at the top. The problem with these pesky people of Judea was that they constantly talked about their own king as though he were greater than the emperor of Rome and worthy alone of devotion. Things seemed to have come to the fore in the controversy swirling around the Jewish rabbi from up north. All of Galilee, it seemed, was abuzz about him. When he entered Jerusalem 5 days ago, the crowds acclaimed him their king. Everything was in turmoil in that confounded city as Jews from all over the world poured in for some strange festival called Passover. Tensions were high, and now Jewish leaders brought this Jesus to Pilate, declaring him seditious. "He claims to be our king," they told Pilate. "What will the emperor think, Pilate? What are you going to do about it, Pilate? Instead of answering the accusation of the Jewish leaders, Jesus simply inquires whether Pilate asked his question concerning kingship on his own accord or heard others say it about him. Pilate contemptuously replies that since he is not a Jew, the issue is really between Jesus and the Jewish authorities and has nothing at all to do with him. Yet Jesus must in some manner answer the charge. After all, it was the Magi who asked, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews?" And after feeding the multitude, the crowd follows Jesus to take him by force and to make him their king. And when Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem, the crowd proclaimed, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." So Jesus responds to Pilate, "My kingdom is not from this world." Jesus' kingdom has no boundaries in the present world. If the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed belonged only to the temporal world, he would not have been handed over to the Jewish leaders or to Pilate. His followers would have prevented all of that. The fact that there is no real civil conflict, nothing more than Peter's compulsive attack on the high priest's slave, demonstrated the falsity of the claim brought before Pilate about him. Jesus again reiterates this fact, "But as for me, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate's only context for the idea of kingdom was political. He is not a theologian. So he once again asked Jesus, "So you are a king?" Pilate couldn't envision a different kind of authority than that of Roman civil law, unquestionably enforced by the might of Roman power. Jesus then replies that he has come into the world to bring a reign of truth, and those to whom truth is meaningful will give heed to his word. In Jesus, there is no personal vanity, no desire for self-aggrandizement at the expense of other people. He came to serve, not to be served. His kingdom would create a new community of believers who would hear and heed his voice. Jesus would rule through grace and truth and love and forgiveness in a realm of spirit and life in which justice and peace would shine out for all. This was the saving truth that was being offered to the whole world, and it is the essential meaning of our proclaiming Christ as King. Today, our hymn of the day is, "O Christ, what can it mean for us?" The author, Dolores Duffner, says of the hymn, "The question is, what can it mean for us to claim Christ as our King?" And Duffner's answer in the hymn, "It means that we may not wield power over others as the world does." Not at all. We will not let might take precedence over right. The way of love is opposite the way of power, and as followers of Jesus, we are called to take the way of love. Love shows itself in other-centered service rather than self-centeredness. The fact that we are wealthy and powerful as individuals and as a nation places on us a special responsibility to take care for those who are poor and weak. In relation to the Feast of Christ the King, just before Advent begins, she adds that most hymns recommended for this festival emphasize Christ as a glorious, triumphant King to the exclusion of Jesus' own betrayal of himself as one who came not to be served, but to serve. In this hymn, she tried to reflect that humbler image of Christ, a different kind of King, whom we are now invited to imitate. Perhaps this is one of the many reasons that the Christ of the cross is not very popular today in our seemingly out-of-control world, where things change so very quickly. This different way of being king doesn't move into our lives and settle conflicts in the Middle East, Ukraine, and Haiti with the sword. or haul off scammers of the elderly to prison. It is not the way of rulers who, though often taking advantage of their own subjects, protect them in some measure from other people who would harm them in some way. Power and might on this earth is used in ways that we clearly understand if we like the results or not. And we understand that money talks. We comprehend that beautiful people rule, and we know that we want things our way and we want them in a hurry. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament scholar and theologian, wrote, "Adults have become inarticulate within the family of faith about our faith. This is so important because adults today crave an easy accommodation between faith and culture. Thus, the Christian faith is trimmed of all of its radicalness until there is nothing really left to talk about, and that very little has most often been boiled down to privatized legalism." What Brueggemann is saying here is that the faith for many today is more about what we should be doing and what we should not be doing, and a personal king who enforces the rules. And yet Jesus' kingship is not about a personal king for us, but all about sending us out to help other people, to put them under his rule of love and compassion. And we are not lost proclaiming this different kind of king who came not to be served, but to serve others. Christ is for all of us, not against any of us, in a most radical kind of way. It is faith in this king, this Christ, standing before Pilate, soon to experience death on a cross, that sustains us, even as all earthly, princely powers fail us. In a non-literal depiction of Christ's crucifixion, the Italian artist Pacino di Bonaguida highlights an important truth about Jesus' death on the cross, and that is, he went to the cross willingly. Rather than showing Roman soldiers nailing Jesus to the cross, the artist leans a ladder up against the cross, and Jesus ascends the ladder of his own accord, and he takes his place there. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is in control of the action, and not the powers that oppose truth. Think back to the Gospel reading for a moment. When Pilate asked Jesus a question about his kingship, Jesus takes charge of the conversation. He changes the subject. He wants to know if other people told him about him. He takes charge. Jesus didn't end up on the cross because he didn't play his political cards correctly, or because he made the wrong people angry, or because he couldn't get down from the cross once there, as the bystanders dared him to do. Instead, he willingly submitted to death on the cross as part of God's plan to redeem us. This is Christ's plan. Christ is so truly the King of all that he is free to take on the role of the suffering servant. His kingship over all things for all time is so certain that he could humble himself, even to the point of death on a cross. He is the king not only in moments when he is exalted and hailed as the true Lord of creation. Christ is the king also in his lowly suffering and death, which he underwent for our sake, revealing that he is not only a king of power and authority, but the king of truth and love. There is no one greater than he. Thus, we owe our thankful allegiance not to the passing rulers of this world, but to the eternal Christ. And to him alone, this is most certainly true.